everyone. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 37 from your spiral, Gospel Hymns, hymn book number 37. Let's all stand together. Approach my soul, the throne of grace, in every time of need. There's mercy for the needy one, who Jesus' name shall plead. Though I'm a weak and sinful wretch, I will approach the throne. I'll lean upon Christ's mighty arm, and plead his blood alone. The blood, the precious blood of Christ, has opened up the way by which I can draw near to God and to my Father pray. Though Satan tempts my heart to sin, I'll call upon my God, and if I fall, he'll lift me up and cleanse me in the blood. The way is open, God will hear my groans and cries of grief. Nothing can keep me from his throne but mine own unbelief. O Lord, my unbelief remove, and turn my heart by grace. Compel me to approach your throne, and there spread out my case. Please be seated.
Good evening. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest, or a Sabbath, to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What is our profession? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, in light of the fact that we have a high priest, in light of the fact that we're not under the law, we're under grace, let us therefore come boldly, and that word boldly is confidently, confident that Christ has made the way, confident that he is able to save. Let us therefore come confidently unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray together. Our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the revelation that you have given to your people about your Son. Father, we thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And we ask in the name of thy dear Son that you would be pleased this hour to send your Spirit in power, that you would open the mystery of the gospel to our hearts, that you would reveal to us once again the glory of your Son. We confess to you, Lord, that our faith is fraught with unbelief, and yet, Lord, you have caused us to believe, and Lord, we pray that you would help our unbelief. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 318. 318 from your hardback hymnal. 318. And let's all stand together again.
Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 98, please. Psalm 98. My hope and my prayer is that we will leave this place tonight with a renewed assurance of our salvation. A renewed assurance. I've titled this message, Christ revealed and believed on. Christ revealed and believed on. Psalm 98, verse 1, we saw Sunday morning, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." God would make it new and fresh to our hearts every time we lift our voices in praise. "For he hath done, completed marvelous things." He's finished the work of redemption. He's fulfilled the law. He's satisfied divine justice. His right hand and his holy arm, and we know who that is, have gotten him the victory. Not when we repent, we win the victory, but the Lord Jesus Christ got the victory at Calvary's cross. He defeated Satan. He conquered death. He put away sin. He fulfilled the law. He satisfied justice. Everything victorious the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for the salvation of his people. And then in verse 2, the Lord hath made known his salvation. Now, Christ Jesus the Lord and his work of redemption is God's salvation. And here we read, the Lord has made him known. He's made him known. He causes us to know Christ, to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, that which was accomplished in the resurrection of Christ, that which we were in union with him in his crucifixion, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ liveth in us. The life that we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Here he says, he's made known. Made known. Paul said, I know. I don't know much, but I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able. I'm confident. If I'm confident in anything, if I believe anything at all about anything at all, I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything else is questionable, but not that. Not that. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness. One of the ways I know that I'm in Christ is that he's made it known to me that I have no righteousness outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. My most fervent, sincere prayer would send me to hell if God judged me by it. So we know that. We're hell-deserving sinners. We have nothing to present to God other than the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is our righteousness. He's made that known. His righteousness has he openly showed. He's openly showed it. This thing's not done in a corner. It's not hid. It's not veiled. It's revealed. It's openly shown unto the heathen. Those who, apart from the grace of God, would not know God. Now, I want to introduce this message by saying that I love believers. I really do. And I love being around believers. I love being around believers because as people that have been forgiven by God, they are forgiving. I love being around believers because having experienced the goodness of God, they are kind one to the other. I love being around believers because believers are generous. I love being around believers because believers are honest. They don't lie to you. They're trustworthy and considerate and faithful. Now, there's two problems with those statements that I just made. The first problem is that believers aren't always forgiving. Sometimes they're unforgiving. Sometimes they carry a grudge. For a time, the Lord will correct them. Believers aren't always generous. Sometimes they're stingy. Believers aren't always kind. Sometimes they're unkind. They're not always trustworthy. They're not always dependable. They're not always considerate. So though these are character traits that we love seeing in one another, what about when those traits are not there? The second problem with these statements is that unbelievers can demonstrate these character traits. Unbelievers can be kind. Unbelievers can be generous. Unbelievers can be sacrificial and considerate. They really can. So what is the one sure evidence of a believer? What is it that never changes? These outward acts of character might come and go. They may change. But what is it that never changes in the life of a believer? Well, the answer to the question is in the question. They're believers. They're believers. They can't not be believers. They believe the gospel. They believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And all you got to do is spend some time with some unbelievers and you see a stark difference. You may have an encounter with a believer that's not good, and you may have an encounter with an unbeliever that is good. But you're not going to have an encounter with an unbeliever who's a believer. And you're not going to have an encounter with a believer who's an unbeliever. I said I was hoping that the Lord would give us assurance of our salvation. And what I'm trying to say to you right now is, the Lord will work in our hearts. He will, causing us to will and to do His good pleasure. But if we start looking to these things in ourselves or looking to these things in one another as the evidence of salvation, we're going to have a lot of doubts. We're going to have a lot of fears. But once the Lord shows us that the one thing that distinguishes a believer from an unbeliever is faith. Belief. Belief in the gospel. Turn to me to 1 John chapter 1 John chapter 3. Verse 23, and this is the commandment. Now, prior to this, the Lord's talking about keeping His commandment. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, our love for ourselves is so strong that it's hard to evaluate the sincerity of our love for anything else. It is. It's hard for us to evaluate the sincerity of our love for God, for one another, because we're so head over heels in love with ourselves. But the truth is that God's people do love one another. They do. They love Christ. They love the gospel. They love the truth. You know, don't look at the quality of your love any more than you look at the quality of your faith. But here the Lord's made it clear that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we love one another. We love those people who believe Christ, who believe God. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. It's the Spirit of God that causes us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The natural man doesn't believe the gospel. Just talk to the unbelievers. They don't believe the gospel. Oh, they'll say Jesus is Lord, and then they'll deny Jesus, and they'll deny Lord. No, when the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" after Philip preached to him Jesus from Isaiah chapter 53. Does the prophet speak of himself, or does he speak of another? And Philip preached unto him Jesus. Now this is about Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that was bruised for our iniquities. He's the one by whose stripes we are healed. He's the one that the prophet was talking about. He's the one that God said, "I saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied." And all the passages in Isaiah chapter 53. And somewhat a believer talking to an unbeliever told me this story. That the unbeliever wanted to hear some scripture. So he opened his Bible to Isaiah 53 and he read Isaiah 53. And the unbeliever, who was very religious, said, "I don't want to hear that anymore. That's too negative. That's too negative." You see, a believer just can't believe the gospel. Now, what did Philip say to that Ethiopian? "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And what did that eunuch say? "I believe, I do believe, that Jesus, Jehovah saves, that one you just told me about, the one who did all the saving all by himself, I believe that he's the Christ, the anointed one, the one sent of God to accomplish the salvation of God's people. I believe that it was impossible for him to fail. And I believe he's the Son of God. I believe that. I don't know much else, but I know that's true." We come boldly before the throne of grace with confidence, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Faith is the substance. Now that word substance is also translated confidence of things hoped for. Let's say Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14 says, "We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence unto the end." I'm more confident now than I've ever been. And by God's grace, I'll become more confident that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I pray that when I draw my dying breath, I'll be more sure of that than I've ever been. Ever been. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. How did we come to Christ? As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We received him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of sinners. And so faith is the confidence. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence or the proof of things not seen. We look not on things which are seen, but on things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're not looking physically at the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not. The only evidence we have is what God's given us in his word. But that's what distinguishes us as a believer. We believe everything that God says, and we know that the substance of this book is the Lord Jesus himself. He's in the volume of the book. We look to those things which are eternal. Now, if a person is looking to a change in their life, if they're looking to the fact that they're not doing what they used to do, and there's things we ought not to be doing, I pray God will deliver us from them. If they're looking to things that they are doing that they didn't used to do, they're serving God fervently, they're not looking at the eternal, they're looking at the temporal. But faith is it, we look not on the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. Looking, this passage in Hebrews concludes in chapter 12, where the Lord says, seeing that we're compassed about by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin that easily besets us, the sin of unbelief, and let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Looking to Christ. Looking unto Christ. We quote that passage often in Timothy for the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof. That's the first word. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word reproof, just lead the preface R-E off of it. Because that's what that word means. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is proof of your salvation. In other words, we look to God's Word and we think, yeah, amen. Yes, Lord, I believe. We're not like that king in the Old Testament who took out his penknife and cut the Word of God and sliced out the parts he didn't like. We're not like that unbeliever who says, don't read that passage of Scripture to me anymore. That's too negative. No, we rejoice in every part of God's Word. The Word of God is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for proof. Proof of who Christ is and proof of who we are in Him. So what is it the believers believe? Well, another way to ask that question is, what is faith? And let me answer that question by saying what faith is not. Faith is not believing that God's going to do something in the future. You hear people say, well, I just believe with all my heart that that's going to happen. And if I just believe strong enough, it's going to happen. And all they're doing is putting themselves on the throne of God, convincing themselves that their faith is what's going to activate future events. I thought about this, and I can't think of but more than five things that the Lord has given us that we know for certain about the future. Now, we believe some future events, but only because they've been revealed in God's Word. Not because we think that our faith is somehow going to make something happen. All God's people will be saved. No question about it. When the last of God's lost sheep is called into the fold, then that's it. There's no more need for this world. All of God's people will be saved. In the meantime, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, for these things shall not cease. 3, wars and rumors of wars. There will be no world peace in this world. None. 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. With a shout of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those of us which are alive will be caught up together with them in the air. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's going to take his church home. And 5, this earth will be destroyed by fire. Other than that, I mean, if you can think of something else that the Lord's revealed in his word about future events that, you know, I'd like to know what they are. But We believe those things because they're revealed in Scripture. Other than that, we don't know what God's going to do tomorrow. And our faith is not going to make something happen. So faith is not believing some future event other than the ones that the Lord has already revealed. Faith is believing everything that God has said. Faith is resting one's hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to me to John chapter 6. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And immediately, Philip baptized him. And right as they came out of the water, the Spirit of God caught Philip away, and the Ethiopian continued on his journey, rejoicing. Rejoicing. God had made him a believer. John chapter 6, verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. The Lord will teach his children what his word means. They come to his word believing that it's the word of God. And they come to his word as teachable. Lord, they're like those disciples. Lord, tell us what that parable meant. Or we know what you spoke was true. We know that everything comes out of your mouth is true. We know that it ultimately is about you and about our salvation. Tell us what it meant. They shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. God uses his word and his spirit to bring us to Christ, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to rest all the hope of our salvation on him. I said that I wanted us to leave here with a renewed assurance of our salvation. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You believe that? You can't not believe it, can you? The unbeliever doesn't believe it. Doesn't love it. Doesn't have a need for it. Oh, they may give lip service. You know, I've quoted a verse. I did this past Sunday, and I've done it several times, and I fear that it has caused some of us to doubt our salvation, and I don't want that. The passage of Scripture I'm speaking of is found in Isaiah chapter 6. It's the most often passage of the Old Testament quoted in the New Testament. They will have ears, but they will not hear. Eyes they will have, but they will not see. And you know what the believer says? Oh, Lord, could that be me? Could I be deceiving myself? Lord, is it I? Isn't that what the disciples said? Lord, is it I? Well, let me speak, if I can, a word of encouragement to you. Number one, if you're asking that question, it's probably not you. Number two, that passage of Scripture is so clearly seen in the religious world of our day. Okay. They talk about Jesus, they talk about grace, they talk about faith, they talk about God. You tell them the truth and they hate it. They hate it. You don't hate the truth, do you? God's given you eyes to see who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's given you ears to hear and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you rejoice in everything that God says. You've got God as your Father. I love what John said when he was talking about loving the brethren. He said, I don't have to speak to you about loving one another. You love each other. The Lord's going to put that in your heart. You shall be all taught of God. No, that passage in Isaiah chapter 6 is for the 99.9% of people in this world that call themselves Christians who hate the gospel. They hate Christ. You just talk to them about it. You find out they're not believers. They're not believers. They honor God with their lips. But their hearts are far from the gospel. They don't believe Christ. They don't believe that he's Jesus. They've got Jesus, a little J. Not that Jehovah does the saving, but he makes saving possible. That's not what Jesus means. They don't believe that he's the Christ, the anointed one, the one Son of God, in the full power, anointed with the spirit of the oil of gladness above his fellows. The spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. They don't believe that he's the Christ. They believe he's doing what he can. But he can't get it done by himself. He's got to have your help. You don't believe that, do you? And they don't believe he's the Son of God. Well, they call him the Son of God. Got something in the mail just today here at the church. Some religious organization wanting some help and contribution. I read the whole confession of faith. They got it all spelled out. And I mean, it's just got so much leaven in it. There's some things that in there, if you just pulled out some individual statements, so that's true, that's true. But you read the whole thing, you find out they've got a different definition for Christ. They've got a different definition for the Son of God. They don't believe he's the sovereign Savior. So, child of God, believer, you believe. Because God's given you faith to believe on Christ. And you are confident that he is able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. You're not confident in yourself. You come to the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness, knowing that Christ has done everything necessary to make it possible for you to be able to come. Give you the ability. Christ has done it all. Look at verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ has seen the Father. That show us the Father and sufficeth us. Is that what the disciples asked the Lord? We'll be satisfied if you just show us the Father. Oh, Philip, have I been with you so long that you don't know? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. We believe that Jesus is God. And he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And everything that we'll ever need to know about God, we'll learn about it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that. I don't know much about anything, but I know that. If I believe, you know, you said, well, I wonder if I believe enough. If I believe anything at all about anything, I believe the gospel. I start looking at the quality of my faith. It's kind of like looking at the quality of your love, isn't it? It's just hard to... It's hard to determine who do you love and what do you really believe. The Lord, I do believe. You've made me to believe. I'm a believer. Not that look at verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Casting all your care upon him. I heard an illustration one time about a boy that was in a burning building on the second story at the window. And a fireman's down at the ground and he's encouraging the boy to jump out of the building. And And the boy was going through this question, you know, I believe in him. I believe he's able to save me. But do I believe on him enough to take the leap, to jump out and trust him to catch me? And believers just, they don't have any place else to go. Lord, where else can we go? Lord, we don't just believe in you, we believe on you. We believe that you are able. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. The Israelites saw the acts of God. Moses knew his ways. Hey, you know, there's so many religious people. They read this book and they see the acts of God and they say, well, I believe that. They don't know why God's done anything. And they don't believe on Christ for their salvation. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. What is that? Now they were, you're going to see, they were offended because they thought he was talking about, you know, eating his body physically. He's talking about his life in the flesh. He laid down his life. He was obedient to the Father, even unto death, even the death of the cross. So his life now becomes our life. And we believe that our life before God is bound up 100% in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What is it to eat his flesh and to drink his blood? It's to believe that his life is my life. The only life I have before God is the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't look to anything in my life for the hope of my salvation. And I believe that the only hope that I have for my sin being put away in the sight of God is to be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, eating his flesh and drinking his blood is believing. You just take the word eat and drink out and put the word believe. If you believe in his body and believe in his blood, it's the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He's not talking about participating in the Lord's table. We just did that Sunday, and what a blessing it is. But that's just symbolic. This thing of faith is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I have outside of the life of Christ that will merit me any favor whatsoever with God? What do I have? Nothing. The unbeliever doesn't believe that. They believe they've got something outside of the life of Christ that will merit them favor with God. Whether it be a decision that they've made or some improvement that they've done in their life or some evidence of salvation that they're looking to, they're not looking to Christ alone. What do I have other than the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover my sins in the sight of a holy God? Nothing. Nothing. I've got nothing else. I can't make up for my sins. I can't cover my sins. Whatever they are. All of them. Verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. What is it to eat of the bread? It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the child of God says, I do believe. I do believe. Hey, if I look at the... I believe a lot more than I do, but I believe. God's not giving me a choice about it. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum, and many therefore of his disciples, and that's not, that word disciples there doesn't mean believers. It means that throng of curiosity seekers that were following after him. They were following and listening and calling themselves disciples. And many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Well, the gospel is a hard saying, because it strips men of all of their pride. It strips them of all of their righteousness. It leaves them completely naked and dependent upon Christ alone for all their salvation. It's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Those have been given ears to hear. Those have been given ears to hear. Those have been taught of God. They hear it. And they rejoice. They're glad. They're glad that their salvation doesn't have anything to do with them. They're glad that it's completely accomplished by Christ. They rejoice in jumping out of that window and casting all their care upon the one who cares for them. Yes, I believe. I believe. When Jesus knew it himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before. And the Lord Jesus Christ did. He ascended back into glory. Was given his rightful place at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, you didn't see that happen. There were some disciples there on the Mount of Olives that heard the Lord say, you know, I go and prepare a place for you. They heard the angel say, this same Jesus which has been caught up to, in the heavens to come in like manner. They went back into Jerusalem, but we have their testimony. And here's the miracle of grace. You believe their testimony, don't you? Blessed are you, Thomas, that you've now seen me and believe. I'm not going to believe unless I can touch him and see. But blessed greater are those who have not seen and believe. They believe on the testimony of those who have seen. We believe. When Peter said, we bring not to you cunningly devised fables, we didn't make this up. We handled the word of God. And we have a more sure word of testimony. We've got his word. And you just believe, don't you? You see, we do love being with believers because they are kind and they are forgiving. They are compassionate and they are generous. But that's not what distinguishes them. You'll find unbelievers that have those qualities. And you'll find believers that fail to demonstrate a lot of those qualities, particularly in your own life, won't you? But the one thing that distinguishes a believer among an unbeliever is that they believe. They believe. They can't not believe. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit of God that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. We have this confidence. We look at that which cannot be seen. Through the eye of faith. Where did we get that from? Spirit of God. Nicodemus, you got to be born of the Spirit. Spirit of God enables you to see. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that giveth light. I speak unto you. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. As I said Sunday, the natural man, only all he's got is the flesh. And you know, you just look at what religion's promoting. You know, the thing that they dropped off at our church today, it was all about, you know, we want to come in and help you train your children to realize their potential in life. And I read the whole brochure, and there wasn't a word in there about the saving of our children's souls. They're not interested in that. It's just, the flesh profit is nothing. Only a believer is interested in hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. The unbeliever, all he wants to hear about is, you know, give me something that's going to help me in this world. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Christ. God has made me to believe on him. In closing, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You remember what the word substance there is in verse 1? It's the word confidence. And the word evidence in verse 1 is the word proof. Now, faith is the substance. It is the confidence of things hoped for. It is the evidence or proof of things that are not seen. We look not on things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And I'm so thankful for this next verse. For the Lord's describing faith to us. We weren't there at the beginning when God created the worlds, but we know that God made them. We know that. Conscience tells us that. Creation tells us that. But more importantly, God's word tells us that. And we believe God's word in the beginning. God said, let there be light. God spoke the worlds into existence through faith. We understand. We do. We understand. We don't need to figure out the questions that the so-called scientists are asking about how these things came to be. We understand God made them to be. He spoke them into existence. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. These things didn't evolve. We believe that, don't we? We don't believe in evolution. That's things which are seen being created by things which do appear. No, we believe that these things came to be by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What did Cain offer? The works of his hands. What Abel offer? Blood sacrifice. Adam told him about that. How many times Adam must have told his boys the story about the fall and what God did. And I'm sure he described it in great detail about how the Lord took this lamb and slew it and fleeced it and covered their nakedness, and that this was a picture of the seed of the woman that was going to crush the head of the serpent that would come as the Savior of God's people. And it had to be a blood sacrifice. It had to be death. And Abel's offering was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. He obtained a witness that he was righteous. What is your witness that you're righteous? It's Abel's sacrifice. It's the lamb. It's the blood. And this whole chapter just describes. Now, all these characters of faith, you go back and read their Old Testament experiences, and you'll find them not always to be very faithful. Abraham's mentioned here. Sarah's mentioned here. Well, none of them are going to. Their lives lived out were not always a demonstration of faithfulness. But they believed God. They believed God. And it was counted unto them for righteousness. The Lord hath made known his salvation. They shall be all taught of God. He's taught you, hasn't he? You believe. You believe. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Christ revealed. And Christ believed on. What distinguishes a believer from an unbeliever? They believe. They believe God. They believe everything God says. Unbelievers don't believe God. They don't. Oh, they pick and choose what they want to believe. But the hard sayings, the hard sayings, who can hear them? Tell them about a hard saying. Tell your religious friend that God doesn't love everybody and Christ didn't die for everybody and God's not trying to get everybody saved, and see how much they believe. They don't believe. You do, don't you? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing the glory and the accomplishments of thy dear Son. Forgive us, Lord, for so often we take our eyes off of him. Lord, you've been so faithful to bring us back again and again and again. Lord, we trust that you will be faithful to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before thy throne in faith. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. 31. Let's stand together. Number 31.
Without measure flow to us by Jesus' blood. It is finished, it is finished. Oh, how sweet the Savior's word. It is finished, it is finished. Oh, how sweet the Savior's word. Finished all justice demanded, finished all required by law, finished all portrayed and promised in the shadows of the law. It is finished, it is finished. Bow, believe, rejoice with all. It is finished, it is finished. Bow, believe, rejoice with all. Jesus finished our salvation when he died upon the tree. Righteousness and full redemption for his loved and chosen seed. It is finished, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of Calvary. It is finished, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb.